There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this very special Monday. There are some days that show you why you got into the profession that you got into. And ever since I was a kid, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to talk about sports on the radio in Kansas City. Little did I know I would grow up and I would get to live all my dreams. And today we have a Royals playoff game against the New York Yankees and Monday Night Football that will be happening concurrently at the same damn time. Today is the most special of Red Mondays and a Blue Monday, and we appreciate you guys making us a part of your Monday. All right, we don't have a lot of time today. We have to hand things off to the Chiefs pregame, so let me give you the itinerary because I don't want you to say that I didn't tell you. Today, the Chiefs game will be right here on 96.5 The Fan. The Royals game will be on 610 AM, you know, the old frequency. So if you want to flip back and forth, if you want to listen to one or the other, I can't tell you what to do. I just want to give you all the tools to be prepared. The Chiefs will be on this station, 96.5 The Fan. The Royals will be on the AM side on 610 AM. We are happy to have you covered here on our Odyssey stations. All right, we will get to both coming up after Rob gives you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. Call number 6, 913-586-7965. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce, with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers. So, Carrington, whether it's a slice or two or you're having some sort of massive watch party tonight for the postseason and a little Monday night football, be sure to visit them now at pizzatascio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends. Just tell one friend that if you are excited about the Royals, if you are excited about the Chiefs and you love pizza, then the best place to celebrate all three of those things are right here with us at 96.5 The Fan. Rob, I would like a special impromptu random Royals lineup. I don't think that we have ever had a random Royals lineup this deep into the season. I am excited for one of those. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. Now, on the first part, I'm going to tell you something that you already know, but it needs to be said. It needs to be discussed. Today is a must-win game for the Kansas City Royals. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, they got a home game coming up on Wednesday, and I'm excited for the home game on Wednesday. Hopefully, you got your tickets for Wednesday. Hopefully, you've got your tickets for Thursday because they are playing in games three and games four. Did you know that 72% of teams that win game one in a best of five series go on to win said series? Now, there are 28% of teams that come back from a 0-1 deficit. We are talking about one game. If I had told you that the Royals would, their season would be riding on one game, and I would let you pick any pitcher on their team to start that game, what pitcher would you select? You would pitch the one that's picking today. Now, if I told you to pick a ballpark that was not their home ballpark that you thought had the capabilities of helping unlock this offense, which one would you pick? You probably also pick the one they are playing at tonight. Yankee Stadium is historic. It might be the most historic baseball stadium in the country, and there are some great ones with Fenway and Wrigley. Yankee Stadium is in that conversation. Even the new one is in that conversation. But let's make no mistakes what it is. That is a beer league softball stadium. You can hit a weak fly ball, and it can be a home run. If there is a game and an opportunity for you to go on the road and steal one, it is today with the starting pitcher that you have going. It is in that ballpark where can you get a home run from an MJ Melendez? Can you get a two-run RBI single from Garrett Hampson? Can your stars play like stars? In game one, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez went 1-for-14. I am not telling you something that you don't know. They cannot win this series without those three individuals. I don't care how great your pitching is. I don't care how great your bullpen is. You do not win this series without Bobby Witt Jr. being special, Salvador Perez contributing, and you getting a healthy and productive Vinny Pasquantino. So I told you, at least the Royals portion of this is pretty obvious. We'll talk about instant replay and how instant replay failed the Kansas City Royals on Saturday. But there is no crying over spilled milk. You are down 0-1 in this series. What is the pathway for you getting back into it? It includes a win in game two. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter with whom you do it with. You have to figure out a way to get this series back to Kauffman Stadium on Wednesday, tied 1-1 for the best atmosphere that we have seen baseball-related in Kansas City since the 2015 World Series. Kauffman Stadium will be rocking if the Royals have two home wins and they advance to the ALCS. That is in front of you. I have made the basketball analogy. We made that a lot in the second half of the season, how your team was up 11 and now they're up 3 and you got to get a stop. This is pivotal. There is a drastic difference in terms of your percentage chance to win this series being up or being down 2-0 or being tied 1-1 coming back home. Being down 1-1 coming back home, you got a shot to really do this thing. You really do. You got a shot to win this thing. You go down 0-2. Hey, it was a great season. We will all pat you on the head, and maybe you come back and do it. But boy, you are going to have the toughest uphill battle that this team has had at any point this season. This is the pitcher you want on the mound. Go out there and you got to figure out a way over the course of 27 outs to scratch out enough runs, pitch well enough. Your bullpen has to be a little bit better. Your stars have to be a little bit better. You got to get the first guy out. The Yankees had 7 of their 9 guys lead off the inning and get on base. You can't continue to put yourself behind the 8-ball the way that the Royals did in game 1 of this series. We will find out later tonight if they can bounce back. I think the story for the Chiefs today is a very simple one. How did they respond from the injuries, and who were they responding from the injuries with? And after Travis Kelce, if you were asking me, who on that offense right now do you trust? Who do you think is going to be a focal point? It is funny how it is a guy that was not on the team 3 weeks ago in Kareem Hunt. We all laugh and joke about the NFL being scripted. The NFL laughs and jokes about the NFL being scripted. Can't you see the script? It's right in front of us. Kareem Hunt, the prodigal son, returns home for Monday Night Football in the middle of one of the most jam-packed, enthusiastic Kansas City weekends that we have ever had on one of the biggest sports days that this city has ever had. And Kareem Hunt scores a touchdown on Monday Night Football and helps carry the Chiefs to a win. I mean, you can see that script being written. I mean, Steven Spielberg thinks that's unrealistic. Martin Scorsese, Quentin Tarantino, some of the greatest filmmakers of all time believe that that story is just a little bit too far-fetched. But in sports, it happens all the time. I think Kareem Hunt's going to be a major factor in today's game. We gave you guys the stats last week. The Chiefs gave the ball to Carson Steele 2 times out of their first 5 plays. He fumbled. They ran the ball 18 times after that, and Carson Steele got 1 more touch. They, at that moment, started to shift and pivot to Kareem Hunt. And you know Vegas, they tend to know on these things. They are expecting that Kareem Hunt's going to be RB number 1 tonight. They are expecting him to get the touches. They are expecting him to get the targets out of the backfield. They are expecting him to get the carries and be productive in today's game. How do the Chiefs respond to the injuries? And football is so much of an attrition sport. It's not if you're going to deal with injuries, it's when. We know what the injuries are with this team. They are going into Monday Night Football against a competitive team. I'm not here to tell you that the Saints are good. In fact, I don't really know who's good right now in the National Football League. But the Saints are a viable, scrappy, competitive team. The Saints are a team that's capable of beating any team in the National Football League. They are also a team that are capable of losing to any team in the National Football League. You are going in to play that team with a different left tackle than you started the season with, running back injuries, wide receiver injuries, some guys banged up on defense. You just got to figure out a way to get to the bye week. And it's not the worst thing in the world, but your feeling going into the bye week at 5-0, and you can take a little bit of a break, get ready for the game on the road against San Francisco, hopefully start to get some guys back healthy, start to behind the scenes figure out some trades, bring some guys in to work out. You are going to feel a lot different over the course of the next 13 days when you can 100% focus on the Royals, and the Chiefs are sitting at 5-0 as one of the last undefeated teams that are left. There's one team in between that tonight, Monday Night Football against New Orleans Saints. All right, coming up in just a bit, we're going to be joined by our guy Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. But before we do that, Rob, it has been so long since we've done this. We've never had this before. We need a playoff edition of a random lineup.
We're where you want to be.
Karen, today's random Royals line takes us back to 1980, where the Royals and Yankees were playing a playoff game on this date. Here is your random Royals lineup from a 7-2 Royals win.
That's what we need today, 7-2 win.
Leading off in left field, Willie Wilson.
Hey, Willie Wilson.
Batting second, the shortstop, UL Washington.
UL.
Batting third, the Hall of Famer, the third baseman, George Brett.
What do you think the UL and UL Washington stands for?
That's a great question. Let me tap
Let's find that out
here.
Later. What do you think the U stands for? I'm going to go with Ulysses. That sounds like an old gentleman black man name.
It says his full name on Baseball Reference, just UL.
Nah, he definitely has a name.
Batting fourth, the designated hitter, Hal McCray. Batting fifth, in center field, Amos Otis.
Famous Amos Otis, Royals Hall of Famer.
Batting sixth in right field, John Wathen.
This team was loaded.
Batting seventh at first base, Willie Akins. Batting eighth behind the plate, Daryl Porter. And batting ninth at second, one of the best county commissioners there is, Frank White.
This team was good. You know how good you had to be to make the postseason back in these days? They didn't have half the damn league make the playoffs back in these days. You really had to be one of the three best teams in baseball in order to qualify to make the postseason back in the day. Things used to be a lot different. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Josh Vernier as he gets you ready for tonight's Royals and Yankees game two. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our dear friend, Josh Vernier. He is our Royals insider. Vern will be on the show every day until the Royals season is over. Vern, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Still alive.
Vern, how crazy is it that this time last year, I don't know where you were, but you were probably somewhere on an island. You know, you and your wife, you guys were sipping pina coladas, you know, after a tough baseball season that ended for you in April, that now every day you get the honor and privilege of coming on this show to talk about the Royals and you're in the middle of a pennant race. How exciting is this?
It's a lot better, no doubt. This is a lot better than my ties and suntans, man. Yeah, this is where I prefer to be, no doubt about it.
Let's just start with this, because I don't know if this counts as a hot take anymore. I am turning into somebody who is against replay in almost every single form. They don't get it right with the human element part of it. They also don't get it right when they have the opportunity to review it. Like, the point of review, I thought, was to overturn obvious mistakes that happened. Are those obvious mistakes still occur? Jazz Chisholm is out at second base. I'm not crazy in thinking that, right?
No. It appeared that way to me, although I wasn't floored when they didn't overturn it. That, to me, was one of the classic, whatever they call on the diamond is going to be upheld, because there's no... Listen... Even for the angles that appear to be clear cut, to me, there's still 1% doubt, so it's not going to be overturned. Yeah, it's frustrating, and it was written all over Matt Quatrero's face after the call stood. But it's happened already to this team 2, 3, 4 times this year. And to be honest with you, that play was not the most egregious. I mean, two come to mind, both with Cole Reagans on the mound earlier this season. There are a pair of more egregious missed calls by instant replay that have affected the Royals. I can't imagine the number around Major League Baseball as a whole.
I do want to get to this star specifically about Reagans. The bullpen was so lights out over the past 10 days or so. What changed? What was different yesterday, or I guess a couple days ago in game one?
Honestly, I want to give the Yankees a lot of credit to be, Angel Zerpa comes in to face Soto, Judge, and Wells. I understand the pitch that Juan Soto hit was up and out of the zone. That's just one of the game's best bats doing what he does. I understand being careful with Aaron Judge and putting him on a 7-pitch walk there. I thought Austin Wells earned that one. So Zerpa, I don't think, was as bad as his final line certainly would indicate. John Schreiber, you can't walk in a run like he did. Although, he did still limit the damage. He still got a huge punch out of Cabrera with the bases juiced and two outs. So, Schreiber wasn't great, but he wasn't maybe April, May, June, July Royals bullpen bad. Now, Sam Long can't walk the 9-hitter. That's maybe the at-bat or plate appearance that I'm most disappointed with when it comes to the Royals bullpen. Sam Long's been so good, I don't expect him to do that tonight. Lucas Erceg was the stud that he's always been. I'm not all that concerned with the bullpen heading into tonight. the bullpen is still, what, the fourth best attribute of this team, even with that great month of September and a nice start to the postseason. You know, when I look at the job done by the bullpen in Game 1, what stands out to me is that game-winning run and that Jazz Chisholm play, and for as much as we want to make it about the replay or the bullpen, Salvi's the Gold Glover, Salvi's the Hall of Famer, he's got to make a better throw to Massey there at the bag.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show. I will say that it was good to see a big hit from MJ Melendez. He hits the home run. Also, Garrett Hampson, he has a big hit as well. The Royals are obviously going to need their stars, and we talked about this last week. You're going to need your big three. Your big three was a combined 1-for-14 in Game 1, but you're also going to continue to need one of those other guys to step up in a big way. Against Rodon, who do you think is the most likely player to kind of step up in that X-factor role tonight?
Salvi has the best numbers, but that's one of the big three. Tommy Pham, Hunter Renfro, I think, will both be in there playing the corner outfield if MJ Melendez is on the bench. Yuli Gurriel, Garrett Hampson could be in center field instead of Kyle Isbell. I'll be anxious to see when that lineup comes out. I'm still putting Michael Massey in there at second base. So who outside of Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi would I think could change the game? Well, it's going to be one of the power guys. It's going to be Renfro or Pham. Yeah, I'll say Hunter Renfro would be that name tonight, the guy that can use that short porch out in right. You know, Michael Massey, though, if that works as an answer, Michael Massey's been outstanding offensively and defensively so far in the postseason. He's, along with Yuli Gurriel, they've, you know, five consistent quality trips to the dish, something that hasn't happened all that much this season, certainly not for a month at a time over the course of this campaign. So Massey at the top into those big three, Gurriel in the five spot. You know you're going to get good plate appearances. They're going to make the pitcher work. So you feel good about that. But as far as a big swing, Hunter Renfro would be my pick to click, even though his numbers against Carlos Rodon, nothing to write home about.
Let's get to the Royals. Let's get to their starting pitcher. I think the math strongly suggests if you lose this, you lose the series. I know they're coming back home and everybody's excited, and I'm excited as well. But you fall down 0-2 to this team, you don't get back to New York. The Yankees finish you off, and they win one of the next two games in Kansas City. If I told you that the Royals had their back up against the wall and you needed one quality start, you would pick the person who was pitching for the Royals today. I think if you also had to pick a park that wasn't Kauffman Stadium, and you said, hey, pick a road park in a game in which you think you could score five or more runs, you would probably pick Yankee Stadium given what we saw in Game 1. I don't want to say this is a great spot for the Royals because you're going up against a really good team on the road, but this is a spot in which you can very easily go in there and steal one and kind of take a little control of the series coming back to Kansas City for then two games.
Yeah, and it's all about Cole Reagans. You know, you talk about that ballpark, and if we're being truthful here, if Giancarlo Stanton could run at all, that game on Saturday might not be close. That could have been a 3-4 run game in the fifth inning if Giancarlo Stanton could run, be athletic whatsoever on the base pass. No, the reason why tonight's such a big game is, no, not obviously. Yeah, it's a playoff game. It's a best of five. And no, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Royals win three in a row. So I'm certainly not viewing it as if it's a must win, but your point is correct. If I'm going to draw up a game in which I think the Royals can put up some crooked numbers, and I believe the Royals pitcher can limit that dangerous Yankees offense from putting up crooked numbers, it's Yankee Stadium with Cole Reagans on the mound. It begins and ends, in my opinion, with Reagans. Six innings of one-run baseball, you know, seven innings of shutout baseball. It sounds silly, but this is who he has proven to be over the course of the season. You saw what Zach Wheeler did in his playoff debut this year, what Tarek Skubal did in his. What the greats do come October is perform at a great level. And Cole Reagans this season has been one of the best in the league. He showed as much against Baltimore, and I'm expecting nothing less again tonight.
How do you like, I guess, Reagans going up against this Yankees lineup? I gave you the stats last week with Michael Wacha going up against him. Wacha didn't have his best start. How do you like Reagans going up against this team that is obviously loaded from top to bottom?
Yeah, listen, he's not going to back down, and that was so very clear very early in Baltimore. He's a bully on the mound, and come October, bullies have a tendency to tighten up a little bit, or, you know, on the biggest stage, we really find out what type of a bully you are. How confident in your stuff are you? And you go back to that matchup with whether it's Gunnar Henderson or Santander, Adley Rutschman. These were some battles, you know, 7, 8, 9 pitch battles at the dish, and Reagans did not give in. So certainly, yeah, you miss location to Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge or Juan Soto and they're going to send it deep, no doubt about it, but that's not in the mind of Cole Reagans. The dude is confident, but not in a detrimental way, not in a way where, you know, a tin cup way, to where he doesn't see the big picture, the cerebral nature in which Cole Reagans has turned into an ace over the course of this season is all the reason why, if I'm a Royals fan, I'm hammering that plus 130. You're giving me plus odds with Cole Reagans on the bump, man. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am on this, too. I mean, just kind of looking at it from, I guess, a 1,000-foot view. I mean, either the Royals or the Tigers are going to win today. I don't think that both of those teams are heading back home down 0-2. Maybe both of them win. We obviously saw that a couple days ago in the wild card round. Both of them were able to go on the road. I just think about the way that baseball is, and momentum is only as good as your next day starting pitcher. You got Scooble going for the Tigers, and you got Reagans going for the Royals. One of those two teams, if not both of them, are winning.
Yeah, somebody told me if you parlay that together, it's like plus 310. I don't remember who told me. Certainly wasn't a bet I made yesterday on a trip to Kansas, but
right now we're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier here, for just a little bit. Looking at the odds, speaking of the numbers in Vegas, Vegas has the Yankees as the favorite to win the World Series. Do you think that's fair right now? Are they your favorite?
I think that's more of a reflection on the American League than it is the New York Yankees. Would they be my favorite? Boy, that's a tough question. I think I might be a little bit too close. Now, I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess because they grabbed game one, even though Garrett Cole did not look like an ace, does not have me shaking in my boots if I'm the Royals bats gearing up for game four Thursday night at Kauffman Stadium. I mean, the Padres, man, I don't, to me, they have it all. You know, their bullpen to me is the best bullpen in baseball, even better than Cleveland's. Dylan Cease didn't look great at his debut. You know, that's their Cole Reagans. That's their Tarek Skubal. But again, Garrett Cole didn't look like an ace. I think you could make a better case with the Phillies, the Padres, to me, are maybe the better team. So I guess, again, that's a reflection more on the American League. If I believe the top two teams are the Padres and the Phillies, followed by the Yankees, that means the Yankees have the easier road. So as I talk it out, yes, the Yankees, I guess, should be the World Series favorite right now.
I've got two final questions for our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He is going to be on the show every day until the Royals season has concluded. It is not my favorite postseason. I'm not sure if it's even the best postseason, but if you were talking like drama and theatrics, I'm not like too unsure that baseball might be at the top of the list. Like, I love the NBA. The NBA theatrics don't start until you get kind of toward the end of it. The NFL is a little bit different. It's just football, but just watching the playoffs and just being more engaged with this baseball season, you see Shohei hit a big home run. You see what's happening between the Dodgers and the Padres and their back and forth. The Tigers going on this little bit of a run. You got Reagans and Scooble going on here. Baseball on a day-to-day basis might be the most dramatic postseason.
Yeah. I'm wondering, as you say that, because you're 100% right, I feel like that's more this postseason. I don't know. Maybe it's because the Royals are in it, but I swear, man, I'm locked in every single October. That game yesterday between the Mets and the Phillies, that might have been the best game I've seen since the wild card game. There just wasn't as much riding on it as the wild card game. But, yeah, I can't argue with that, man. Five lead changes in game one between the Royals and Yankees. That's the first time that's ever happened in postseason history. So, you know, the numbers, the stats, the facts are on your side that right now this baseball postseason is as good as ever.
Vern, last thing here, kind of like a football game. Give me your keys to a Royals win.
Well, it begins with Cole Reagans. I need him to be an ace. Again, 6-7 innings, one run or less. And then if you go back to the loss in game one, for as much as people want to focus on instant replay or Michael Wacha not giving you five innings, defense and base running, you know, the things that we've been talking about all season, I don't think the issues from Saturday will be duplicated tonight. But again, I need Salvi. I need my Gold Glover to make a better throw. I expect the Royals to be the better defensive team. They were not the better defensive team on Saturday. Juan Soto made the throw, right? He made the good throw to get Salvi at the dish. MJ couldn't. Tommy Pham couldn't. Salvi didn't make that big throw. So pitching, defense, and again, team speed, right? I'm all for being aggressive on the base paths, but Salvador Perez does not warrant the green light. I don't expect Vance Wilson to make that mistake again, and he can't afford to make that mistake again, right? Pitching, defense, and team speed. The Royals must be superior in those three facets, or else they're going to come out on the losing end, just like they did in game one.
That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. He will be on the show every day left of the Royals baseball season. Vern, man, excited for a special Monday here in Kansas City with the Royals and Chiefs playing at the same time, man. Happy to catch your postgame show and pregame show later on today.
Yes, sir. Over on the Fan AM 610 beginning at 5:30. C-Dot, I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us on the show today. I do want to get back to baseball here coming up in a little bit. We're going to bounce back and forth all day. As you guys can imagine, we're off a little bit earlier than normal today. We're off at 4 because of Chiefs pregame. For those of you that are heading out to the stadium, have a great time out there. Should be a special night in Kansas City with both the Royals in a postseason game and the Kansas City Chiefs hosting Monday night football later tonight against the Saints. All right, I want to do something a little bit different. We don't usually get the opportunity to do this because of the way the schedule and the way that the books work. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you a six-pack of props to bet on today's game. I personally am staying away from either the Chiefs or the Saints. The NFL is just too random for me. I don't have a great feel either way. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but underdogs have just been cashing at such a huge number right now in the league. I'm just going to stay away from that. But that doesn't mean that you can't find value elsewhere. I definitely think that there is value in this game. I'm going to give you three props that I like for today. Rob's going to give you three props that he likes for today. And let's see if we can help you out a little bit. All right, the first prop that I am going to take, everybody is on Alvin Kamara today, and I get it. He has been one of the most productive running backs so far in the league. Have you been watching what the Chiefs have done to running backs this entire season? His yards from scrimmage are 105. When was the last time that a running back did that against the Kansas City Chiefs? I don't think that's the way that this game is going to play. I got all the respect in the world for Alvin Kamara. Those are my kind of backs. Guys that can catch it out of the backfield, guys that can run a little bit. I love Kamara's ability. I'm taking the under on 105 yards today. I don't think he does that. I think the Chiefs continue to do what they have done for basically a year and a half and bottle up running backs. I think he maybe has like 75 or 80 yards from scrimmage. I believe that we come on here tomorrow and talk about how well the Chiefs did in stopping the run and forcing the Saints to be one-dimensional. Look at what they did to Derrick Henry. Look at what they did to J.K. Dobbins. Look at what they have done to Moss and Chase Brown, who play for the Cincinnati Bengals. They have a history and track record of doing that this season. No reason for me to think that changes. I'm going to take the under on Alvin Kamara. It is right now at 104.5 yards. Give me the under.
I told you guys it's on Friday. I'm going to stick with it today. Kareem Hunt anytime touchdown. It's plus 130. We can joke about the script writers and if the NFL knows what's coming or whatever, but the story is written. Kareem Hunt returns to Kansas City after a big game and has a touchdown. But beyond the existential stuff, man, who else is going to score for this football team? Carson Steele lost his job. Samaje Perine, I believe his rushing touchdowns is going to continue to be marginal this season. Patrick Mahomes is throwing to plumbers and insurance agents out there outside of Travis Kelce. Someone's going to have to get in the end zone for this team to win, and you're giving me a starting running back at plus money? Kareem Hunt, plus 130, anytime touchdown. It is written in the stars. It seems like a layup. That is my first player prop, Carrington.
All right. Excuse me. in that same vein that I took with Alvin Kamara and taking his under on rushing and receiving yards, I'm going to take the over on Kareem Hunt. Now, I'll give you a couple different options depending on how, I guess, risky you want to be with it. You can just take his rushing yards in this game that are at 48.5. Or if you want to give yourself a little bit more room, you can take the rushing and receiving yards. It's at 66.5. So maybe he has, you know, 40 yards rushing, but he gets you 30 yards in the passing game. So you end up hitting the over that way. After you get past Travis Kelce, I'm not really sure where the offense is going to come from as well. I think Kareem Hunt is in that conversation. Somebody has to get the football. If the Chiefs run 40, 50 plays, that means Kelsey's going to get his share. They're going to try to get Xavier Worthy involved in that scenario. That means Kareem Hunt touches the ball somewhere probably between 12 to 14 times. I think he gets you about 4, 4.5 yards per play. That would hit you on the over on his rushing and receiving yards. Or if you just want to take the rushing yards, it is up to you. I would probably take the rushing yards because the juice is a little bit less. You get that at minus 110. I'm going to take Kareem Hunt over on rushing yards, 48.5.
I'm also on an over today for an offensive weapon. Juju Smith-Schuster's receiving yards over-under is 17.5. Someone's going to have to step up. I know it's going to sound like a broken record, but the Chiefs are going to need players to win this game, and right now they have a low number of bodies. Juju Smith-Schuster's targets have been increasing over the last couple weeks, and he is a guy they know knows the offense and has Patrick Mahomes' trust. I don't think he's going over the top. I don't think he's having some 90-yard touchdown or anything like that. But 17.5 for a guy that we think has a little bit of something left, that's basically what, 2 catches? Do I think Juju Smith-Schuster can get 2, 2.5 catches in this game? Absolutely. 17.5 feels a little disrespectful. So I'll take the over of 17.5 on Juju Smith-Schuster.
The last one is I'm going to give you one Saints prop that I like. I'm going to take the over on their tight end, Foster Moreau. It is at 10.5. The Chiefs just haven't done a great job against tight ends so far this season. We already know about Isaiah Likely. Kyle Pitts hit the over on this in the game against Atlanta, too. They also hit this last week against the Los Angeles Chargers. It's 10.5 here. That's one completion, and you hit your over on a team that I don't think that Alvin Kamara is going to be having a great day, so I do think they're going to throw the ball out there, and the low threshold makes me like the over on this one. So I'm going to take their starting tight end. His over-under is at 10.5. We need him to have at least 11 yards today. That's 1, maybe 2 catches. I'm going to take the over on Foster Moreau.
Great minds think alike. I like the over on Kamara receiving yards at 33.5. Derek Carr has checked down Charlie. You know what happens with the Chiefs defense? Their linebackers don't cover running backs and tight ends well. Alvin Kamara is a screen getter. He's a underneath, make one guy miss guy. I think he might lead the team in receptions tonight because the Chiefs just don't get beat over the top, and Derek Carr didn't have the ability to do so. So I will take receiving yards only over Alvin Kamara, 33.5.
Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Kansas City Royals. There is something that is so confusing to me about sports. We'll get to it. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I don't know how to discuss this topic without it coming off like I'm complaining about the officials. Now, you guys know that complaining about the officials is the free space in loser bingo. And the Royals certainly did enough things on their own that are the reason why they lost game one of the ALDS. So maybe I need to send this disclaimer because I don't want to come off as a hypocrite because that's not the tone of this take. But it does need to be pointed out. I dislike instant replay because I don't think it works. I understand the purpose of instant replay. You want to make sure that you get the calls right. Do we think they get the calls right? Because in the rule book, it says that you need inconclusive evidence. I can give you plenty of examples that times that things have been overturned and nothing was inconclusive about it. I can give you plenty times where my eyes see something and then they tell me that I didn't see what I saw. And we spend the next 10, 15 minutes watching a game in super slow motion, and then we're unsure about what the call is going to be. Now, maybe that is just part of the buildup and drama and intrigue of it, that a decision happens and they review it and we discuss it and they go to the rules analyst. And maybe that is just a prisoner of how much technology that we currently have in sports, that you have the ability to stop and go back and rewind it and make sure that we get the calls right or wrong. I don't think they're doing that even with all the technology that we have. I don't think instant replay works. It would be better if they just let the human element. We're going to be mad and argue about it anyway. Jazz Chisholm was out. He's out. I saw it on the replay. You saw it on the replay. They didn't see it on the replay. How? It's just confusing. We're talking about billion-dollar decisions that are out there. This affects who wins and loses. This determines legacy, who advances. So much is riding on the winner and loser of these games. And I don't think they're getting it right or wrong. The worst thing that they've done now, Rob, is show us the little box when it comes to pitching. Because then every time it's on the corner, if it's your team, you want it to be a strike. If it's the other team, you want it to be a ball. Maybe we just have too much information and technology. They're putting up the win probability every 50 seconds, every time a pitch it changes. It's too much. Maybe I'm just getting old and I just want things to be simple. Because you know what instant replay is not? It is not simple. In fact, it makes sports more confusing and more convoluted. I might be the only one that is on this. You're thinking, well, we got to have replay to overturn the obvious calls. They don't get the obvious ones right either. They're just not good at these things. They have the same chance of getting it right with or without the instant replay. It's a 50-50 coin flip. It's like a magic eight ball. You shake it and you just got to live with whatever conclusion that they come with at the end of it. You knew that call wasn't getting overturned. They were going to review it and go to New York to make a call against the Yankees in New York? All right. You knew that wasn't happening. Instant replay is not making sports better. It's worse.
I don't disagree. But is the alternative just wrong calls being wrong? Like, we all as sports fans were irate, angry, and there was even petition signed when that no pass interference call was against the Rams and Saints in the NFC Championship game a few years ago.
Then the next year they allowed them to overturn pass interference and the refs just wouldn't overturn it, no matter how obvious that it was. You remember that? Because that's the biggest reason why they got rid of it. Teams started challenging instant replay, and they were going to stick with whatever call they made, whether it was right or wrong. In the end, it is people that are still working the technology. We all know that technology fails far more than not, and now you got people operating the technology. We are just never going to be happy with the outcomes of these things. We are always going to argue. We're always going to debate it. The best example I can give you guys, you remember this. This was in the Chiefs' first AFC Championship game. And Julian Edelman touched the ball. They said Julian Edelman touched the ball. Then they did a replay. It looked to me like he then touched the ball. No, didn't touch it. Wait, hold on. I've been watching this in slow motion. He touched the ball. No, didn't touch it. It's dead ball. Okay, all right. Instant replay has let us down far more than it has fixed things over the last 5 to 10 years. Over the last 5 to 10 years, when it has been a controversial penalty and call, they have gotten things wrong far more than they get it right.
I mean, I agree with you, but I feel like the alternative is we just accepting wrong calls. Like, that's not better. I feel like replay is a great idea as an idea. But in practice, it's gone too far. One of the problems with the play of the Royals game is there's two camera angles, and now it becomes subjective to a group of umpires in New York. Do you know the one sport that I actually think nails replay? Because they take the, you know, they make it just pure objective. Tennis. Tennis replay system is just the ball did or didn't hit the line. We're moving on to the next.
And that's all you can review.
The problem is every other sport has decided to implement replay in too many things. I think replay is a great idea, but in practice, we put it too many places. It needs to be, here's the look, yes or no, AI can tell us. ChatGPT, that's basically what tennis does, and it works. But you get too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, although they kept showing the replay center in New York during the broadcast on Saturday night, it's like five or six guys looking at cameras. You haven't actually enhanced anything. You've added five or six different opinions. Tennis works because it's just, oh, did or didn't hit the ball, and we're on to the next.
Coming up in a little bit, I want to get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Before we do that, it makes me sad to do this. Raise your hand if your college football team won this weekend. Rob, your hand's not up. I also can't put my hand up. Those boys got the beats this weekend. The absolute beats this weekend. I mean, we knew your team was going to lose, Rob. I mean, that's all they've done. That's all they've done for the last 5 weeks is lose. No one is surprised that KU lost another football game. That's how you know you're alive. That's how you know that nature is healing. That's how you know that the earth is correcting itself, that KU was back to being bad at football. The earth didn't know. Think about all the things that have happened over the last 18 months. You want to know why that happened? Because the earth was confused that Kansas was good in football again. It didn't know which way was up, had absolutely no clue. I was so excited for this Missouri game. I was talking to Rob about it all week. Felt good. Felt like the line was disrespectful. We're going to the playoff. Burden's about to get back on track. You guys have been too harsh on Brady Cook. I was denying what my own eyes were telling me. They didn't play well against Boston College. I saw it. I was at the game. They played very mediocre against Vanderbilt. And then them boys got smoked by Texas A&M. Did you know that Texas A&M averaged 8.8 yards per play? Just think about that. Every time Texas A&M ran a play, they got an average of 8 yards. That's all the college football we have for today. Let's get back to the Chiefs and the Royals. I got to be fair here. If we're going to do the roll call whenever KU loses, we got to do the roll call whenever my team loses too. Put your hand up if your team won this weekend. I can't put my hand up. Rob, you can't put your hand up. K-State fan, you guys had a bye. You can put your hand up. You're feeling good about your team right now. Not feeling good.
All right, real quick, we'll talk about throughout the week. Have you seen next week's slate of games? College football's coming back up on the
show. Absolutely. This is the strong weekend.
Maybe not the locals, but...
Yeah, no, this is a strong weekend. Missouri's got to get back on the winning track. Who do you guys got? It doesn't matter. You're losing to them anyway.
Bye week. Big one.
You guys might lose that, too.
Big week to fire the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, you guys might lose during the bye week, too. Guys about to have a linebacker get into trouble off the field or something. You guys are going to still find a way to lose in the bye week. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Kansas City Royals. They got a playoff game today. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fam. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you. Let me give you guys the station plan for the day. The Kansas City Chiefs can be heard on 96.5 The Fam. The Royals will be on the AM side. They will be on 610 AM, so you know the old frequency. So if you want to switch back and forth, you are more than able to do so. 96.5 is going to have the Chiefs game. We will be signing off today at 4 o'clock to make way for Chiefs pregame. And you can also catch the Royals over on 96.5, or excuse me, on 610 AM. All right, Rob. We talk about this a lot in a football sense, about your stars needing to be stars. If the Chiefs are going to win, you need Patrick Mahomes to play well. You need Travis Kelce to play well. You need Chris Jones to play well. We talk about that a lot in a football or a basketball sense. Baseball is no different. Now, offense was not the biggest problem with the Royals. They scored 5 runs. That's an offensive explosion for the Kansas City Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. was 0-for-5 in the game. Vinny Pasquantino was 0-for-5 in the game. Salvador Perez was 1-for-4 in the game. If this team is going to win today, you are going to need a contribution from your core. The other guys did their role. Tommy Pham had an RBI in this game. MJ Melendez hits a home run. He had 2 RBIs. You got something from Garrett Hampson, who came in pinch hit and got a 2 RBI. Your secondary characters, your role players, your Daniel Sorensen, those types, they carried you in this game and were the biggest reason that you had a chance to win this game because of their offense. If the Royals are going to go on the road and beat the Yankees today, you don't need all 3 of them to have a great day. You need Bobby Witt Jr. to be a superstar and to rise to the occasion. You need Vinny Pasquantino to be that guy in the middle of the lineup that he was before the injury. This team has to figure out a way to get Salvador Perez going. He's been a little inconsistent with the bat of late. We know the Yankees lineup. You're talking about from just top to bottom, whether it's Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Stanton, Chisholm, Verdugo. You got guys on that other side. A lot of their guys were good. Chisholm scored a run. Gleyber Torres had a couple of RBIs. Juan Soto was 3-for-5. One of the major differences offensively in game one, Rob, were, for the most part, aside from Judge, the Yankees got the key contribution from the guys that you know. That's not what happened with the Royals in game one.
Does that give you more confidence tonight, or does it make you more nervous heading tonight? Because I feel like I understand what you're saying, and in a football basketball stage, it's kind of a glass half empty, glass half full view. If I were to have told you on the show Friday, hey, Carrington, the Royals are going to get, what, 1-for-14 from Perez, from Witt, and Pasquantino, you would have told me the Royals got cooked, absolutely smoked on Saturday night. You could have turned it off and done something else your evening. That's what we all would have said Friday, and yet they lost by 1 run. So I think it's a matter of how you perceive it. Like, if you want to be glass half full, hey, the Royals were in a game and none of their stars were stars. They were right there and they made the plays necessary. They just came up a little short. I think the glass half empty is right there as well, Carrington. Hey, your stars are doing nothing. It is the brightest lights, and so far in this series, one game sample size, I understand, they are coming up short. I'm curious how you perceive it, because their stars not being their stars, the role players are cooking right now, but can the role players cook enough to get a win in New York?
Yeah, I mean, that would be great if you could potentially get those guys. Like, one guy I'm kind of looking at, I mean, Bobby Witt, they had 2 RBIs in the series against the, or they had 3 RBIs in the series against the Orioles. Bobby Witt had 2 of them. Vinny Pasquantino had the other one. So those guys, I think, helped carry you and were a big reason of why you won the series against the Orioles. They could really use Salvador Perez. Salvador Perez hasn't scored a run so far this postseason. Doesn't have a double, doesn't have a home run, doesn't have an RBI, hasn't drawn a walk so far. So Salvador Perez, who is the captain of this team, everybody loves Salvador Perez. Hey, man, this team just doesn't have many qualified bats. You're the guy with the playoff experience. You need a good Salvador Perez, whether it is throwing guys out from home or just being a better offensive contributor than he has been so far in this. You're just not going to be able to pull off an upset if you don't get an RBI from Salvador Perez. So one of those three guys today, whether it's Witt, whether it's Pasquantino, whether it's Salvador Perez, you're going to need a 2-for-4, 2 RBI kind of day. And you can go out there and win this game 5-2 off the strength of your stars carrying you. And also you getting a quality star from Cole Reagans.
Speaking of that, the Royals have officially announced their lineup. Mikel Garcia back in the leadoff spot tonight with Gurriel, Massey, Pham, Renfroe, and everyone's favorite, Garrett Hampson in center field tonight. So looking at the lineup, which the graphic was just tweeted out by the Royals, looking at it on paper, what you're saying is even more staggering. Mikel Garcia, not a guy who this year has been inspired a lot of confidence. Then you got your big three, and you got Gurriel, okay. Massey, I think he's been pretty good this series.
Absolutely.
And then Pham, Renfroe, Hampson did round it out 7-8-9. If this team's going to win a game, even 3-1, it's going to be Cole Reagans, which everyone knows, but you got to get scratch across 2-3 runs, and it's got to happen from your 2-3-4 hitters. Like this lineup on paper does not scream 5 runs to me. Like, it is going to be Cole Reagans. How far can you hold down the Yankees when you look at it?
We asked Vern earlier today, what was the key to a Royals win later tonight?
Well, it begins with Cole Reagans. I need him to be an ace. Again, 6-7 innings, 1 run or less. And then if you go back to the loss in game one, for as much as people want to focus on instant replay or Michael Wacha not giving you 5 innings, defense and base running, you know, the things that we've been talking about all season, I don't think the issues from Saturday will be duplicated tonight, but again, I need my Gold Glover to make a better throw. I expect the Royals to be the better defensive team. They were not the better defensive team on Saturday. Juan Soto made the throw, right? He made the good throw to get Salvi at the dish. MJ couldn't. Tommy Pham couldn't. Salvi didn't make that big throw. So pitching, defense, and again, team speed, right?
That was Josh Vernier earlier today. If you missed any part of our conversation with Josh Vernier, be sure to check it out on the podcast page or on 96.5thefan.com. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up in a little bit. It's funny because both teams are going to need an X factor today. We're going through some of those names with the Royals. The lineup is out today. Who's going to be a player that they're going to need to step up? Also, the Kansas City Chiefs, they got a lot of guys who are banged up right now. Mecole Hardman missed practice on Friday, but he did practice on Saturday. What's his availability going to be? We all know that Rashee Rice isn't playing in this game. Hollywood Brown's not playing in this game. Isaiah Pacheco's not playing in this game. So you're going to need some guys to step up. Both teams today are going to need an X factor, and they're going to need a couple of their key pieces to step up and make plays. Who are the possibility of those guys? I want to play this for you. We were talking about instant replay just a bit, how I am at the point where I'd be perfectly fine if they just got rid of instant replay and we just live with whatever the call is on the field. Here is Bob Costas and the reaction to some of the replay decisions that were made in Saturday's game one.
He's going. Swing and a miss. Throw is high. And Chisholm steals second. Checking to see whether it's worth it to challenge.
Well, the problem with Chisholm is the slide.
Yeah, maybe.
He lands a little short and pops up. And does Massey get the tag in on time? Yes, he does.
I spoke too soon. It's at least close enough to check.
Yeah, he's going to be out at second base just because it was a bad slide.
How about that?
He came up 6 inches too short, and Massey with the wherewithal to slap the tag down. Outstanding play. Chisholm had been 14 for 16 on stolen base attempts from the seventh inning on, but I believe he's going to be out.
He was not out. This is what I mean, that instant replay tells you that your eyes didn't see what you know your eyes said. Ron Darling played in the major leagues from 1983 to 1995. Ron Darling has been calling postseason games for over a decade now. He's telling you he's out. He started calling postseason games in 2007. So we're almost going on 20 years of calling games. This guy has been in and around baseball for 40-something years. Man sees the play, he's out. The only people whose opinion that matters on this play don't see it that way. It's broken. That's all I can say about instant replay. It is broken. It is there to convince you that you didn't see what you know you saw. You start thinking you're crazy. Like, man, was he really out? That was close. No, it ain't close. He's out. Ring him up. Send him back down. Changes the course of the game. But no, we just continue to get things wrong on instant replay. All right, Rob, coming up in just a bit, let's go through some of the X factors for both teams. Both teams are playing today. The Royals, they're going to need a couple of guys to step up. You just had the lineup. We'll give it to you again coming up on the other side. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they are dealing with a lot of injuries right now. Who could potentially step up and help this team beat the New Orleans Saints? I also have a theory that the Saints, they are the NFL. I'll explain. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I want to get to X factors in this game coming up in just a bit. In both games, the Chiefs and the Royals. But before we do that, let me make this point very quickly. Did you know that there are 20 teams in the NFL that their record is either 2-3 or 3-2. There are 20 teams that are either one game over 500 or one game below 500. Now, I'm not here to fear-monger about the New Orleans Saints. I think the Saints can win this game. It's football in 2024. And picking the Chiefs to win, I think the Chiefs are going to win. But you'd be crazy to go into this thing, ah, man, Saints ain't got no chance on the road Monday Night Football. That's just not the way that football has gone this season. The Saints, to me, they are the epitome of what the NFL is right now. There are no truly dominant teams, and Kansas City is a very good team. I don't think you would consider Kansas City right now to be dominant. Washington has been very good, not putting them in that category, not putting Minnesota in that category. I think we might be past the era of having those teams. The last really dominant team in the NFL was probably the COVID Chiefs, that it was just very clear to me, hey, this team is much better than everybody else in the National Football League. That was a team that was coming off a Super Bowl. They brought back everybody. It was just a unique circumstances that allowed the Chiefs to compile this much talent. They didn't have traditional road games in that way. The Chiefs just ran through the NFL. Since then, the league has kind of been like this. There's probably four or five teams that we all would agree are good. You would have to consider Minnesota to be good. You'd have to put Washington in that conversation. Kansas City is in that conversation. Houston is in that conversation. There's probably five or six teams that are in your tier one, and then that middle tier. And right now there are 20 teams in that group. Man, it's anybody's guess. The Broncos are 3-2. Pittsburgh are 3-2. The Saints are one of those teams that the Saints are good enough to win this game that it would not surprise you if the Saints win. The Saints are also a team that none of us would be surprised if next week they lost to the Carolina Panthers. That is just the way that this season has gone in the National Football League. It is your guess as good as anybody. The Saints are a team that can beat just about anybody in the National Football League. They are also a team that they are not immune to losing to any team in the league as well. They are the epitome right now of what this NFL season is. It's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be nerve-wracking because there is no separation from the team that you think is the seventh best team in the league and the team that you think is the 22nd best team in the league. A majority of the league right now, Rob, just feels very, very jumbled up in the middle.
And you know who loves it? Roger Goodell. This is the parody the league tells us they love. But Carrington, let's be honest. Is anyone enjoy? I mean, Chiefs fans are enjoying it because they're 4-0. But you watch Red Zone, you watch other games. I watch Red Zone, I watch other games. Most of the text line probably does the same. It's not Chiefs and then turn off the television on Sundays. Is this better than having a few dominant teams we think are on a collision course? Like, I don't know it's better. Having everyone be caught up in that 2-3, 3-2 wash is just blah. And there's nothing good about blah. I know we can sell parody and any given Sunday is more than just a saying. It's a thing that can actually happen. Like the underdogs, you had the stat earlier. They're really good this year, both against the spread and straight up. Like, oh man, the 7.5-point underdog Giants got a win on the road. Isn't that great? But is it? Is this level of just mediocrity across the league actually more enjoyable as a viewer? Because they're going to sell us it was a great thing in January.
I mean, I do enjoy the belief now. There are no games that you would consider to just be outright dogs anymore. Like, the dogs are more related to the quarterback play. Yesterday, Dolphins and Patriots. That's not a game I'm super interested in. You got Tyler Huntley and Jacoby Brissett, those two quarterbacks. You know that game is going to be low scoring. You know that game's not going to be exciting. But this year, underdogs of 5 or more points, and that's where the Saints are. They're 5.5-point underdogs. Underdogs of 5.5 or more. They are 16-2-1 against the spread. And those teams that it used to be, if you were a 7.5-point underdog, if you were an 8-point underdog, you had no chance of winning that game. Those teams are 12-6 right now. You got Arizona capable of going on the road and beating the San Francisco 49ers. You got the Giants capable of going cross-country against Seattle, a team that many of us think, yeah, the Seahawks are better than the Giants. Man, it's really turned into an any given Sunday. So I certainly hear what you're saying. We're maybe not going to get those traditional teams at the top like we got with Seattle with the Legion of Boom, or how good Denver was, or some of those vintage Chiefs teams that felt like they ran through the league. But man, you got to admit, every Sunday when you turn on the television, all of these games are close heading into the fourth quarter and you have no clue of what's going to happen, who's going to win, who's going to lose, who's going to make the mistake, who's going to make the big play, who the star of the weekend is going to be. You are right. The NFL, it feels more than ever, they have figured out a way to keep all of the teams close near each other where the outcome of every individual game feels like a legitimate coin flip. And that's why I was texting one of my friends yesterday. Man, it feels like the Chiefs are over in this category and the other 31 teams are over here. Sure, the Chiefs have had their share over the last 5 years of a random loss. They lose this game to the Colts. They lose this game. They come out and they lose to the Tennessee Titans. Man, for the most part, what has seemed to happen to almost everybody in the National Football League over the course of the last 5 years, it happens to the Chiefs some. It doesn't happen to the Chiefs nearly at the frequency of which it happens to Cincinnati or Buffalo or San Francisco or Philadelphia or any of these other teams that we've been able to call contenders over the last handful of years.
No, you're right. The Chiefs are in their own separate category. And you're right. The games yesterday were interesting and that's great for the witching hour and all those things. But, and you know what? It's very possible me and only me, the only person that cares about this. If everyone's just in that wash, the quality's down. And if the quality's down, the product is less watchable. I'm not watching just for close games. I'm watching for good games. And there were not many good games yesterday. There were a lot of close ones because everyone's just in the middle. I think there are like four good teams in the league. Maybe less, and the Chiefs are in that category. The Commanders are in that category. And then it's just, maybe the Texans are in that category too. From then on, it's kind of just, I think they're good, but they have this bad loss. Or I think they're bad, but they have this good win.
Well, Ron, let me ask you this, though, just as a sports fan. Isn't that how all the sports, like, maybe this is not a bad thing. You and I both love college football. That's the way that college football is right now. There's a handful of teams at the top, right? Texas is really, really good this year. I mean, Alabama just went on the road and lost to Vanderbilt. You know, now Georgia, they haven't had a bad loss in a while, but maybe that's just the way that sports are, that we have seen the underdogs. Now they are more viable than they have been at any time in our lives, where anything can happen. That's just not the kind of sports that you and I grew up on. So you talk about everybody's in the middle. That's almost every sport that we watch right now. That's what the NFL is. That's what baseball is, where a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks can go on a run and make the World Series. The Tigers can go on a run and make the World Series. In college basketball, where St. Peter's can now go to the Elite Eight. Maybe this is just an example of the floor of sports is just higher than it's ever been before because the results are more random than they've ever been before. You and I grew up in a world where you would have never thought that a 16 could beat a 1. That's happened in two of the last 5 years of the NCAA tournament.
I love your point there. I'm all for the idea that the floor is rising in the NFL. Because outside of really the Panthers, there's no just dog in the league. Everyone's kind of just okay. But as the floor has raised, has the ceiling? Like you mentioned earlier, there's no juggernaut in the league. If this Chiefs team took on the 2020 Chiefs team, I think the 2020 Chiefs team absolutely roasts this team. And that's the last time we saw a team at the top end like that in the NFL. So I'm all for across all sports, the floor rising. Like, less dogs is better, but if the ceiling doesn't rise and suddenly the one seed in the AFC is 12-5, are we really going to look back at that season and go, man, what a great season of football. The Chiefs went 13-4 or the one seed, but they did lose these games we can't really explain. I don't know what's better, but I'm all for the floor being raised as an idea why it could get better.
Text line 913-586-7965. I want to get you guys' opinion on this. Let's talk the Chiefs and the Royals, and let's talk about the X factor. We looked at game one for the Kansas City Royals. Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., and Vinny Pasquantino were a combined 1-for-14 in that game. It goes without saying that you're going to need those guys to be better run producers and in the middle of your success. You are not winning a playoff game on the road if one of those three guys are not a catalyst for why you can go on the road and win. You need a big start today from Cole Reagans. That's number one. If you don't get a good start from Cole Reagans, you were behind the eight ball to begin with. You're also going to need your stars to be stars. But we saw in game one, you get a home run from MJ Melendez. Garrett Hampson comes in and he has a big two-out hit that scores a couple of runs there. Who do you think that potential X factor could be, Rob, in today's game that could be the difference maker for the Royals? It goes without saying, I think that today is a must-win game. I know we had Vern on the show and he disagrees a little bit. I mean, the numbers are already not in your favor if you are the Royals. In a best-of-five series, the team that wins game one wins the series 72% of the time. So the math is already strongly against you. All right, well, how do you flip the math? If you win this game, it is now tied 1-1, and you come back to Kansas City for two games. you got a game on Wednesday, you got a game on Thursday. If you can win a two-game series at home, you are going to the American League Championship Series, and you are four wins away from going to the World Series. That starts today. I don't think you want to go back to New York. I also don't know if you are going back to New York if you don't figure out a way to win today. This feels like that pivotal game where you got a chance to eliminate the advantage that the Yankees have. You got a chance to cut them off at the knees, so to speak, and turn the advantage back to you, where now they have to go on the road and they have to steal a game from you to get it back to New York, or they could just win both of those games. But if this comes back 1-1, the Royals are winning one of their two games in Kansas City. Who is the X factor that you think needs to step up for the Royals in this game, that if they're going to steal game two as the underdog, who do you think is going to need to step up?
So define X factor, because I think the answer is Michael Massey. Now, if you want to tell me, hey, Michael Massey is like, it's like one, then 1A for him being just outside of that big three and he doesn't count, that's fine. If you're going to say he's too important to the offense and he's too important to the team,
he counts.
That's fine.
He absolutely counts.
To me, the answer is Michael Massey. He's been really good in the playoffs. Like, from the leadoff spot, which is not where he's at tonight, but in the playoffs, he's 5-13, including a double in the Orioles game to lead that game off in game two. He scored, I believe that's game two. He also near homered at Yankee Stadium, and as much as I think Yankee Stadium is a Mickey Mouse beer league softball ballpark, it is to the advantage of left-hand hitters. It is really dumb that you can hit it 316 feet and be a homer. I get that, but you know what? Michael Massey could be a guy who takes advantage of that short porch out and right. So I don't know. I love him out of the leadoff spot. I would have liked to see him stick there even against a lefty, but Michael Massey is a guy who I look at tonight as being an X factor, maybe in a run producing spot in the middle of the lineup, gets a big hit that brings in a Witt Jr. or a Perez and kind of makes the lineup feel longer. So if you had to ask me, I'd say Michael Massey is my X factor in tonight's Royals game.
I like Michael Massey a lot. I think he makes a lot of sense to be an X factor in this game. I'm going to go in that same vein and say Tommy Pham. I think he has a chance to kind of be that guy further down in the lineup to have a big double that gets the Royals ahead 5-3 in this, and then you trust the bullpen. It just feels like they're going to need another great game from one of those individuals. I mean, MJ Melendez, for him to hit a home run in that scenario, hey, big home run in that spot, that's a game that you certainly hope to win. That's not what happened. They also just have to be better pitching. I mean, the bullpen let them down. They also had 8 walks in the game as well. So I have my issues with the way the instant replay was used and how it was called in game one. But man, the Royals did a lot of other things to lose that game as well. If your 2-3-4 hitter are going to go 1-for-14 at the plate, and you're also going to have 8 walks, and 7 leadoff hitters for the Yankees are going to get on base, you're not winning that game against the New York Yankees on the road. You're certainly not expecting that today with Cole Reagans. You expect to get a better pitching performance than you got in game one when you had Michael Wacha. Let's see if that happens later tonight as the Royals try to take game two and bring this thing back tied 1-1 to Kansas City. All right, let's talk about an X factor on the Kansas City Chiefs side, on the football side of this thing. We know the injuries to this team. You're not going to have Rashee Rice. You're not going to have Hollywood Brown. You're not going to have Isaiah Pacheco. Who knows what the health and status of Mecole Hardman is going to be in this game? He did not practice on Friday. He was a limited participant on Saturday. Could he be a healthy DMP? Could he be a scratch? Can he give you anything in this game? They also haven't really gone to him a whole lot in this. I mean, Rob, there's only 5 possible options for this question if we are talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, if you want to call Kareem Hunt the X factor, great. Makes a lot of sense to me. Kareem Hunt, I would say you have Samaje Perine, Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Justin Watson, and we could probably throw Noah Gray in that mix if you'd like to throw in another guy. So maybe there's 6 possible options of an X factor today, a guy that can make a difference in this game offensively and kind of take up those opportunities. I mean, one thing we haven't really talked a whole lot about over the course of the last couple of days, and I get it in relation to the injuries. I mean, Rice had 29 targets this season. 29 targets. So think about it. Patrick Mahomes has thrown the ball 121 times. 29 of those opportunities went to one player in your offense. That is a massive usage rate that is now up for grabs. Now, you expect Kelce to get a lot more work than he's gotten, and he got a bulk of those targets last week. All right, you now expect Xavier Worthy to have to give you a little bit more. I've always been a proponent of getting more Noah Gray. He's only been throwing the ball 9 times. Justin Watson hasn't gotten many targets so far this season. He's at 8 targets. So they throw to him 1 or 2 times. Man, somebody's going to get the ball thrown their way 4 or 5 times today. I really like Juju in today's game. I thought Juju stepped up pretty nicely in the Atlanta game. He had that touchdown. I think Juju's kind of a sleeper here. Somebody that knows the offense, somebody who Patrick Mahomes trusts, kind of like what Justin Watson used to be. I wouldn't be surprised if Juju has a relatively big game, not going off for 100 yards, but I can see Juju today having 4 catches for 60 yards and possibly scoring a touchdown. If you're asking me to nominate somebody, hey, who's going to step up in this absence? I really like the return of Juju. You brought him in for this as a failsafe. If something goes wrong, a guy that knows the offense, can you step up and help?
I like Juju. I told you earlier in the show I like his over, mostly because I think it's a little bit disrespectfully low. But I'm going to take Justin Watson as my X factor tonight. I'm going to use a stat you love, snap counts. Do you know who was second among wide receivers in the Charger game with snaps?
Justin Watson. Yeah.
Justin Watson played in, wait for it, 69% of the snaps against the Chargers.
That's a lot of opportunities.
A lot of opportunities. And we know from now multiple years of data, Patrick Mahomes trusts Justin Watson. He knows he's going to be in the right spot, and he trusts him to make a play. I don't know that Justin Watson is some game breaker. I don't know outside of Xavier where they have a game breaker wide receiver. But if you're asking me, who's the wide receiver that Mahomes trusts and feels like can go make a play? Juju, I think, fits in that category, but Justin Watson gets more usage, and usage is just the name of the game. So I would take Justin Watson as my X factor tonight. Now, again, similar to Michael Massey, if you tell me, Rob, the guy who has the second most snaps a wide receiver can't be an X factor, that's cool. Maybe we're just arguing semantics, but if you're going to play in 70% of the snaps a wide receiver, you're going to get a chance to go out and make a play.
Who do you think has more rushing yards tonight, Carson Steele or Xavier Worthy?
Ooh. Xavier Worthy.
Because I just say that with Carson Steele. Yeah. I don't know how many carries and opportunity he's going to get. Maybe he gets. Ooh. Maybe Carson Steele doesn't get a carry in this game. Maybe he gets 5 or 6. We've gone from, in a span of, I would say, 2 weeks of knowing what Carson Steele's role was on this team to feeling like he got his job taken. And now maybe you kind of give him a couple opportunities. I mean, at some point, you have to give him the ball again, right? I know he fumbled on the last opportunity. At some point, he is going to get another carry and another chance to be involved in this offense. He is a first-year player finishing up his first month of action. The Chiefs are not throwing Carson Steele away. But in this game where you maybe need somebody a little bit more sure-handed and you could potentially use a spark offensively, this has jet sweep to Xavier Worthy written all over it. Trick play, getting a little cutesy, trying to get him the ball in space, kind of like what you did in the first game of the season against the Ravens.
Yeah, that's why I say Worthy. Now, maybe Worthy gets less rushes because they do those little pop passes and things that are considered passes. So we talked tomorrow on the show, and we're like, well, he got less rushes, but I think they're going to have to get Worthy involved early and often. But that's a really good question, because not only did Steele's rush attempts go down last week after he fumbled, P. Ryan's rush attempts went up, something that me and you did not anticipate. So over a week of practice, do they trust Alligator Man to get back to hold on to the football, or do they give it to the aging Samaje Perine? I would take Worthy over Steele rush attempts.
I mean, this just goes to show you right now that Vegas is just uncertain about this as well. There is no rushing prop for Samaje Perine or Carson Steele. You can take Kareem Hunt or you could take Patrick Mahomes. You do not have the opportunity, at least on FanDuel, you don't have the opportunity to take them. I could see Samaje Perine being involved in the passing game. Right now, his over-under is at 13.5. So I could see him kind of getting involved in the screen game. I actually like that number for Samaje Perine. Do you think he could get 1, maybe 2, maybe break a big play? I actually do think it's worth a little bit of a sprinkle if you want to take Samaje Perine. One thing I think we know today, which I think could make it a little bit difficult in fantasy, and if you're putting a little money on today's game via one of the gambling apps, I think we know that there's going to be 8 or 9 receivers that get a target today. I don't see Travis Kelce getting a crazy volume like we've seen Rashee Rice. I'd be a little bit surprised if Travis Kelce got 13, 14 targets in this game. I think he gets 8 or 9, and then you see the ball kind of spread around. Juju gets a couple opportunities. McColl gets an opportunity to do something. Xavier Worthy gets a chance to do something. Noah Gray gets a couple of passes. Like, we've seen this kind of Chiefs offense and this Chiefs game. I don't think they're going to let one person, so to speak, try to replace Rashee Rice. I think they're going to let a multitude of people do it. I really like Juju in today's game to potentially have a little bit of a breakout game. 4 catches, 40 yards, maybe scoring a touchdown and kind of seeing his role expand. They just don't have a lot of healthy bodies. They also just don't have a lot of receivers that Patrick Mahomes trusts. If you think Mahomes is going to throw for 250 yards, all of them are not going to Travis Kelce. Some other guys are going to have to eat as well. We are off today at 4 o'clock because the Kansas City Chiefs pregame, but keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Someone alerted me that Carson Steele and Samaje Perine, their over-under is not available on FanDuel, but it is available over on DraftKings. They have Carson Steele's, Rob, set at 17.5. They have Samaje Perine's at 15.5. A 17.5 feels like a lot for Carson Steele based on what we saw last week. Maybe it is an overreaction to what we saw, but the fact that there were 18 carries in the game and Carson Steele only got one of them down the stretch, that's 17.5. I don't see Carson Steele getting 5 carries in this game. I think he gets 3 or 4. I think Samaje has a chance to hit his over. 17.5 yards to me for Carson Steele feels like a really high number. I don't know if he's getting 20, 25 rushing yards this evening. I would take the under for Carson Steele.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to. Or honestly, maybe just don't touch it. Maybe that's one of those where, you know, we talk about gambling on the show a lot. That's probably a number I don't bet, because let's say he gets a 4th carry. Now you're starting to kind of sweat it a little bit.
Yeah, but it's also, I would say it's also going to be hard to, if you think Kareem Hunt is having a big day, you can't also think that Carson Steele is having 20 yards in this game too. If you think that today, if you think that Kareem Hunt is taking over RB1 and you think he's scoring a touchdown today and going to have 70 yards, you're also not getting that much of an opportunity for Carson Steele. We will find out if he kind of got his job taken. It looked like he got his job taken in real time on Sunday Night Football. Let's see if that happens. I think the two storylines today, whether it's the baseball side of things or the football side of things, on the baseball side, it's simple. Today is a must win for the Kansas City Royals. You have your number one pitcher, your ace, and Cole Reagan's going on the mound today. If you lose this, it is not realistic, in my opinion, to think that you can win this series. You lost the 2 games at Yankee Stadium. They now got 3 times to beat you 1 time, and you got to win a 3-game sweep against the New York Yankees. You guys can call me Debbie Downer, Nancy Negative, whatever you want to throw the term out there. I don't like the Royals' chances if they go down 0-2, even though they are coming back home. Now, if you win this game and now you have a guaranteed game on Wednesday and Thursday, you got a shot. We talk about a puncher's chance. That's your puncher's chance. You win 2 games against the Yankees at home. One of those games is going to be pitched by Seth Lugo, and you are going to the American League Championship Series to play a team, whether it's the Guardians or whether it's the Tigers. That is the definition of a coin flip. I don't care what happened in the regular season amongst those 3 teams. I don't even care which team is playing hot, which team is not playing hot. You are 2 teams that have played each other 13 times this year, and every game was close and competitive. That is the definition of a series that goes 6 or possibly 7 if you can get through these next 2 days. But you got to take it 1 game at a time, and you can't get there until you get through with this. The Royals have to win today. Today is a must-win game for the Royals. And on the Chiefs side, Rob, I think the story is today's game is about Kareem Hunt. coming back to Kansas City and the Chiefs needing Kareem Hunt today. He is not one of those secondary players. He is not one of those guys that, oh, it'd be great if you got a contribution for a team that is as banged up as the Chiefs are. They went from this guy not being on the team to really being reliant in his productivity to help them win a game on Monday Night Football against a capable football team. The Saints are good. Good in like a relative NFL sense. They're not embarrassing. They're not bad. They're not going to pick in the top 10. That's a team that could win their division. That's a team that could grab one of the wild card spots in the NFC. They have the same chance as 11 other teams currently in the NFC. They are certainly capable of coming on the road and winning this game. You need a good game from Kareem Hunt. If he gives you 70 rushing yards, catches it out of the backfield a little bit, holds on to the football, if this team can protect the ball and continue to rely and lean on the defense that has been one of the five best in the National Football League, you win this game today against the Saints. I don't have to tell you guys, this is just how Chiefs games have gone over the course of the last 18 months. I mean, it's going to be close. We know that going into the fourth quarter. When was the last time, aside from the Miami game in the playoffs, that you could just, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to bed early because the Chiefs have this in the books. No, that's not the way the Chiefs games go. It's going to be 27-24. It's going to be 24-21. I trust the Chiefs to make fewer mistakes than I trust the Saints. I also don't trust Derek Carr enough, certainly not with his history, to go on the road on Monday Night Football and get a win on a city right now that is on fire for its football team and its baseball team. So I don't like the Saints' chances today. But a big reason is just, I think even with the injuries, I still think they have a chance to remain balanced. I think you're going to see a better version of Travis Kelce because they're going to have to focus in on him and him having a good day. I think you'll get the contribution from some of the other pieces in this wide receiver room. And I also think that Kareem Hunt's going to play well. You can just see the storyline writing itself. Kareem Hunt has 65 yards rushing, has another 30 through the air, almost had 100 yards. He scores a touchdown back in Arrowhead. You get the chance from the crowd. You can just see the storyline writing itself for today. I'm really expecting him to show out. And for a guy who has talked about redemption and second chances and wanting to prove it, man, there's possibly no other bigger stage on the regular season than you step up really big and play well on Monday Night Football.
I mean, we almost went 2 hours before I got all negative, but here we go. I got something. You said you trust the Chiefs to make less mistakes today than the Saints.
I do.
Why? What about the 2024 season has made you think the Chiefs are going to play some clean, mistake-free football?
Kareem Hunt doesn't fumble the ball. Carson Steele
their
does fumble the ball.
Their quarterback throws it to the wrong team once a game. He has, in four games, four picks. He is the best quarterback on the planet. I would trade him for no one. He is transcendent. I could talk for another 10 minutes about Patrick Mahomes, but in 2024, you know what? He's not cautious with the football. So when you say Derek Carr is going to turn it over, I trust the Chiefs won't. Why? Their quarterback is more turnover prone than the opponent.
Sounds to me like you're taking the Saints to pull off the upset today.
I like it close. I think 5.5 is nonsensical. I would take the Saints plus 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, I think just given the way the NFL is gone, I think you have to take the Saints to keep this game close. I'm not picking the Saints to win this game, though. This just feels like a game to me that the Chiefs, they just got one more grinded out kind of game. Let's win this game. Let's reset. You got Taylor coming into town. Her and Travis are going to be off the grid for the next couple of days because they're spending time together. Patrick and his family are going to go somewhere. Let's come back after the bye week and let's get ready for San Francisco. This isn't the difference in making or missing the playoffs. I don't want you guys to think that. But there is a difference in going into the bye week 5-0, feeling great about your team, even in the face of adversity. There's no better team in the NFL in overcoming adversity. The first 4 weeks of the season have been nothing but adversity. Your starting wide receiver was out. You found out the news about Hollywood Brown. The Chiefs were optimistic about Hollywood Brown coming back. Things didn't work out that way. Isaiah Pacheco got banged up. Carson Steele, everybody's training camp darling, can't hold on to the football. It's been hit after hit after hit for the Chiefs. But all they've done in the midst of that is figure out a way to win. You figure out a way to win one more time, you get 12 days off, and then you go on the road to play a team in San Francisco that I know has gotten off to a slow start. That is a team that is still as talented as anybody in the National Football League. I'm going to take today to be a little bit lower scoring than I think most people are. I'm going to take the Chiefs 20-17 in this one.
I got 23-17 Chiefs, so right on that line, but I think it's another one where you're chewing on your fingernails late in the game. I think the Chiefs get a Butker field goal to ice the thing down late, and the defense holds on. 23-17 Chiefs.
Are you taking the Royals today?
I am taking the Royals. Royals in the money line tonight, baby. Plus 150.
Yeah, I'm on the same thing as you. I'm taking the Royals to win today. I'm taking the Royals today because I believe in Cole Reagans more than I believe in any other player in this game, and that includes Aaron Judge, who might be the best baseball player on the planet. Go Royals, go Chiefs. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.